With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Today on the dark side of schoolgirl outfits, gifts to teens, sex abuse every day, as the Fed slams Ghislaine Maxwell on the first day of trial. Josh Duggar admitted he first molested girls at age 12, and then a family friend says much more emotional testimony. An audio revealed when Josh Duggar learned he was being investigated for child pornography. Today on the Dark Side of...
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the dark side of...
That it is. Please be sure to press subscribe, follow, or what I like to say, I think one of these days, one of these services should just call it stalk. Stalk your favorite podcast. Press the button that does exactly that so that you get all of our episodes right into your feed. If you really like the show, support us on Patreon. Just search Dark Side Of over there. We greatly appreciate your support. It's Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Hey, friend.
Hey, friend.
How's it going?
You know, just I don't know what this weirdness is, but when I put this show together and I kind of find our headlines that we're going to talk about, I get excited about it. And it's horrible shit.
It's funny because when you did that kind of little tease of both of those stories, mm-hmm. and then it goes into the dark side of, and I'm like, they're really dark stories.
Yeah.
And I know we kind of make light of them. We make light of most things in our lives. Actually, you and I do. Mm-hmm. But it's really dark, dark shit. Like what Josh Duggar is accused of doing is really horrific. Mm-hmm. And what she is accused, Ghislaine, of doing is really horrific.
It is. I mean, all these things are absolutely horrible. But it's like, it's just interesting to dive into the psychology and the minds of some of these people. Because you just don't know how dark and deep it goes half the time.
And you know what's crazy is that we all know somebody who's a real perv.
Yeah.
Like, and we just don't know it. And it's like, you know, you might be going to church with a guy or you might like work with the guy.
Let's play who's known the worst perv that you later.
God, I wish I'd have prepared for this because, you know, in the middle of the night, I'm going to be going,
that's the perv.
That's way more of a perv.
Yeah.
And that's more of a perv than that guy.
I've had quite a few in my professional lifetime that I've worked with. But I have one that was that there was, most of them were obvious pervs. And it was, there was not a lot of hiding it. I mean,
I just thought of a total perv.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was in high school. I was 15. And we smoked tons of weed and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we were doing, like, we were dabbling in drugs and stuff. Like, I was dropping acid when I was 15. So, of course, I was, you know, super cool in my head. And so I hung around with some people that were older. And there was this older married couple. And they were always kind of giving us rides places. And I think that I worked with her or one of my friends worked with her. I don't remember how.
Yeah.
We actually knew them. But they wanted me to go to their house and have sex with them. And they wanted her to pee on me.
What?
Or me to pee on her. I don't remember the order of that. Yeah. I was like, and I was 15. I hadn't even had sex yet, let alone like.
So how is this going on? Go like, how is this being
somebody?
Okay, again, who is this that's saying this to you?
It was this couple that I knew. I don't even remember their name.
And they were adults.
Needless to say,
and they were adults.
Yeah, they were adults.
And
they were probably in their. But I was only 15.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And so how did this conversation even come up? Like, where the fuck were you?
In a car. We were in the car.
So how did, hey, would you come over to our house and have sex with us and pee on us?
Well, and I don't really remember now because it has been a minute. But
I think
they kind of built up to it. Like, we'd go to their house and smoke pot.
Okay.
Anyway, and so then they would be like, oh, we'll give you right here. They just seem like really cool people would give us weed.
Sure.
And we're like, awesome. And, you know, and they're cool because they're older.
Yeah.
You know, you should always. And I remember my dad telling me to be suspicious of anyone who wanted to be my friends when they were in their 20s and I was 15.
Yeah, I'm like, exactly.
Dad, what do you know?
Yeah.
But I totally forgotten about them until just now. And I was like, oh. And then they had also done the same thing, the same type of proposition to my friend. And so, needless to say, after that, it was like, no. I was just too, I couldn't go, even if it was free weed, I wasn't going to go smoke weed with him anymore.
Yeah.
I was too uncomfortable. And at 15, like, I'd never even, like, I hadn't thought about, like, what do you mean peeing on somebody? Like,
well, yeah. Oh my God. I can honestly say in my years of sexual life, I've never had that come up. I've never had anyone say.
You've never asked a 15-year-old girl.
I've never.
Because
that just seems like one of the most unappealing ideas in the world. But it's never come up, I guess, with any partner of mine or anything where it's like, hey, you want to do this? I'm like, no.
Oh, and I'm like, God, you know, even, I don't know. I'm sure there's people who, for some reason, enjoy that. But what a mess. Like,
no kidding.
Just like, you got to clean shit up after that. Like, you got to really clean shit up.
Yeah.
Or you got to put out rubber sheets all over. What? Oh,
yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
I do not. I just don't get that one. Nope.
But I'm trying to think. There's certainly somebody I know that got arrested for something super creepy.
I would say the worst that I've had, and I've dealt with some that were very obvious, and those were horror stories into itself. But in terms of like a surprise to me, there was a guy that I worked with at a radio station in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and he was the morning guy on the oldies station. And he'd been on the morning guy on the oldies station for probably damn near like 10, 15 years. Huge billboard on the highway. Like, you go around this corner and there's his head like coming off the highway as you go into like Appleton and Green Bay. And he honestly, of everybody in that building, seemed like one of the most wholesome, non-threatening guys. I mean, I'm usually like pretty good at picking out like the creeps and going, yeah, you know, and just kind of getting that feeling. This guy, I always thought he was like very just kind of like fatherly, friendly, nothing weird about him. I ended up moving away. About a year later, in the news, this man is arrested for going It's one of those. It was like a Chris Hansen situation where he was communicating with some 15-year-old or 14-year-old or something like that in like South Carolina. And this guy's in Wisconsin and he drives to South Carolina or wherever the fuck it was, somewhere over there, and to meet up with a girl. It's an FBI sting. And
was he still working at the radio station?
Yes, he was married. He had kids. God. He was like, again, like he was just like the wholesome. I'm disappointed in myself for not sensing the weirdness in this guy, because
some people have a really good way of hiding.
Holy shit, he did. Because I was just like, there's plenty of people in that building that I would raise an eyebrow to. He was not one of them. And I was just really like, what the fuck? Like, how did this guy not ever, you know, be that person? But,
everybody at BTK's church thought he was a great guy.
No shit. I mean, some of those people, I mean, it's just amazing what they can get away with and for how long they can get away with it for. Now, in our stories today, we're going to be focusing mainly on Ghislaine Maxwell and Josh Duggar. We already did a Duggar story on yesterday's episode. Me and Sean covered a whole bunch of the case, but you and me are going to continue on with the case as well. But the Ghislaine Maxwell trial is also getting underway, and this is going to be one hell of a shit show. There is just so much that is starting to come out. What was it the other day? The information that came out the other day in the trial was about Trump being on the Lolita Express.
Oh, yeah. And Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
There was a girl. Yeah. And Bill Richardson, the ex-governor of New Mexico or something.
And Chris Tucker, I believe, was the other one. Is that correct?
I don't know who that is.
There's a comedian, Chris Tucker.
Not saying it's not correct, but to me,
Chris Tucker was on the list. And okay. I believe Chris Tucker was really good buddies with, and I believe he was in, he was in the Michael Jackson video, Rock My World, I believe, right? Was that him in that?
I don't even know who Chris Tucker is.
He was like really big in the beginning part of the 2000s. Like, this is here's Michael Jackson, You Rock My World, and it starts out with him and Chris Tucker, I believe, at a So it doesn't bode well for Chris
Well
Tucker.
And there's got to be a lot of men right now that are really nervous.
Yeah.
Because Bill Gates, he's connected with Jeffrey.
A lot.
So there's a lot of people
and we all kind of got to hold our breath here too and go, you know what? If it's people you thought that were great and wonderful and it turns out they weren't so great and wonderful, just fucking admit it and go, look, I was wrong. This is what's going to get interesting is who says, yeah, this was fucked up. These people were wrong. I didn't realize that these people were doing these things. And who still stands behind their pedophiles and goes, not a big deal.
Who stands behind their pedophiles.
Like, I don't care. Like, you know, there's plenty of questionable shit about Bill Clinton, without a doubt. You know, and, you know, what did the 90s seem to go fairly well? Yeah, they really did. But... you know, is there questionable shit? Of course, without a fucking doubt.
But it didn't go well for Monica Lewinsky. And
yeah.
So, like, when that whole thing went down, and we should do a deep dive into that sometime.
Yeah.
Because when that went down, Monica Lewinsky became a laughingstock. And in reality, she was like a 22-year-old. She was really, really, really young.
Yeah.
And the president of the United States was using her.
Exactly.
And telling her all that shit. Every girl I know has had some guy do that shit to her where he just says all the sweet things they want to hear and leads her on. And then you think you're going to get married. And that's what he did to her.
Yeah.
In an extremely humiliating public way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perv.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I totally think he was involved in it.
I do too. And
I just think there's going to be,
and I can be, someone who's more liberal leaning and admit that and say, yeah, that guy, there was some fucked up shit there. That's where I'd like at least a little bit on the other side to go, yeah, a lot of fucked up shit there with some of these other people.
Yeah.
It's like, it's cool. Like, it's, you didn't do it. You were betrayed by someone who said that they were something that they weren't. Cool. That's, you're the bigger person when you can stand up and say, yeah, this was
what
fucked up.
I hate is at the time, like, I was a Bill Clinton fan back in the day.
Sure.
And I remember when all that happened and how everybody made fun of Monica Lewinsky. And I'm like, what an idiot is she?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I bought into, all of that too. And then once I've listened to some podcasts and there was a documentary I watched, I feel bad for her now.
Yeah, I do too. No, I really do. I mean, she really,
I mean, she was an adult, but she was, yeah, 22. He's the president, yeah, of the United States.
Exactly.
I'd have probably been having sex with him too if I would. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like, I mean,
he's creepy. I can't imagine that.
But it's you're at the in the midst of the most powerful man in the world, and you're a 22-year-old girl, and he's showing
you on,
and he's showing interest in you. If I was a 22-year-old girl, I would probably do the same thing. You know, it's just like, what the fuck? I mean,
and I just think the way as a country we treated her.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
She's a laughing stock. And
yeah,
every late night show made fun of her. And yeah, it's just sad.
Without a doubt.
And so there's so many, like, those are really powerful men.
Yeah.
And the fact that their names can be dragged through the mud, but then, you know, the defense is saying, well, she can't get a fair trial because they're basically trying Jeffrey Epstein. They're trying him, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is the trial they never got to have for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. If she's recruiting these young girls.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's these young girls are saying that she had sex with him too, or like there was threesomes or whatever, or she's watching, or she's in the room.
Exactly.
I mean, it wasn't like she led them to the altar and then walked away.
No. Well, let's dive into the Ghislaine Maxwell case here. There were young girls who dreamed of becoming professional musicians or models or actresses, but they often came from poor families and their parents needed money. They were the perfect targets for a pair of high society predators who dazzled them with fabulous wealth and promised them the world, and who then allegedly groomed, molested, and raped them. Such was the story presented by federal prosecutors on the first day of Ghislaine Maxwell's trial in connection to multimillionaire Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking ring. The 59-year-old British heiress is accused of procuring underage girls for Epstein to molest in what prosecutors called a pyramid scheme of abuse. Four victims will testify that Maxwell participated in Epstein's sex ring, including one who says the couple involved her in group sexualized massages when she was only 14 years old. Maxwell has denied the charges. The jury will hear from Epstein's pilots, household staff, members of law enforcement, and a former employee of the multimillionaire. Evidence in the trial will include a schoolgirl outfit, flight logs, and FedEx records showing Epstein's gifts to a girl who was only 15 years old. Maxwell's lawyers hit back, claiming she was being scapegoated for Epstein's crimes. Ever since Eve was accused of tempting Adam with the apple, women are blamed for the bad behavior of men, says defense lawyer Bobby Sternheim. On Monday, the charges against Ghislaine Maxwell are for things Jeffrey Epstein did, but she is not Jeffrey Epstein. She is not like Jeffrey Epstein. She is not like any other powerful men, moguls, media giants who abuse women. In the 90s, Maxwell was known as Epstein's socialite girlfriend, who connected the up-and-comer to rich and powerful pals, including Prince Andrew, who's been accused of participating in the sword sex ring. The royal claims he's innocent. Later, victims say Maxwell allegedly served as the financier's madam, recruiting schoolgirls to give him erotic massages and grooming them from abuse. Prosecutors called Maxwell Epstein's best friend and right hand in court on Monday. She preyed on vulnerable young girls, manipulated men, and served them up to be abused. That's what this trial is all about, said Assistant U.S. Attorney Laura Pomerez. She claimed Maxwell was drawn to Epstein's life of luxury, which included private homes in New Mexico, New York, and Paris, a private island, private planes, and astounding wealth. The enigmatic Epstein reportedly reminded many people of Maxwell's own troubled and charismatic father, Robert Maxwell, a newspaper magnate whose life swirled with rumors of connections to foreign spy agencies, who swindled his employees out of their pensions, and who died in a mysterious accident off his yacht, the Lady Ghislaine. Robert Maxwell left his family in massive debt, but Epstein helped Ghislaine regain and maintain a lifestyle to which she was accustomed, prosecutors say. Ghislaine Maxwell arrived in court on Monday looking put together and demure, sporting a cream-colored sweater and simple black slacks. She waved happily at her sister Isabel, who was on hand for the proceedings and took copious notes. The socialite's demeanor stood in stark contrast to earlier appearances in court, when she looked gaunt and disheveled. With her team accused jail guards of mistreating her, she wore a face mask that often slipped below her nose. As the prosecutors delivered opening remarks from inside the plexiglass box in a nod to COVID-19 safety protocols. But the accusations that prosecutors laid out against Maxwell were anything but staid. Maxwell would allegedly take teen girls on shopping trips, win their trust, and even escort them into the room where Epstein would molest them. She ordered Epstein's employees to hear nothing, see nothing, say nothing, in a culture of silence. One victim will testify that Maxwell and Epstein approached her victim when she was 14 at a summer camp for talented kids. It was the beginning of nightmare in which they allegedly abused her for 4 years. Epstein abused underage girls like her every single day, prosecutors say. He would start with sexualized massages and proceed to penetration and oral rape. Sometimes they say Maxwell was in the room when the abuse took place. Sometimes they say she touched the girls herself. Epstein and Maxwell committed their crimes together, the prosecution claims. She was allegedly always on the lookout for new victims. One girl was 17 when she was spotted in a parking lot by Maxwell, who recruited her out of the blue, prosecutors say. Girls were also encouraged to recruit other underage teens in exchange for cash. Maxwell's lawyers planned to push back on these allegations by questioning the victims' memories and motives. This case is about memory, manipulation, and money, defense lawyer Sternum said, adding that the accuser's memories have faded over time and were corrupted by things over the years, including victims' lawyers seeking a big jackpot of money and by media reports. She said attorneys saw Epstein and Maxwell as easy targets for lawsuits and noted that the accuser, who says she was groomed at age 14, didn't want to participate in the criminal case against Epstein, changing her mind later, asking for money from a victim's fund set up by his estate. She received $5 million. Examine critically what she is going to say on the stand, Sternum said. Maxwell's lawyers also argued that sex acts Epstein engaged in occurred when some alleged victims were of the age of consent. Sternheim said that one girl, allegedly got a massage at Epstein's New Mexico ranch. She was of age in the state, and that she still received $1.5 million from the victim's fund. The defense has also claimed that another alleged victim in Britain was of age, of consent there. The judge in the case has agreed to limit the woman's testimony as a result. Sternheim called into question motives that a woman and another alleged victim described, dubbed Katie and Caroline in court. She claimed Kate was a jet-setting British actress who dated an Oxford classmate of Maxwell's who was twice her age. And she communicated with Epstein for a decade after the alleged abuse, including sending him photos of herself while he was in jail. Sternheim and Kate got $3.25 million from the victim's fund. Caroline said she filed 2 lawsuits against Epstein and one of his assailants, Sarah Kellen, which never named Maxwell as a defendant. Sternheim said the evidence will show Caroline groomed and trafficked girls for Epstein, After he died, her lawyer contacted the government and she finally implicated Maxwell. Caroline received $3.5 million from the fund. The victims have been impacted by lawyers, by media, by things they have heard, by money, big bucks, Sternheim said. Until now, even though they got money from a fund, their words have been unchallenged. Epstein's predations first came to light a decade ago when scores of teen girls told Florida police that he routinely molested them at his Palm Beach hideaway in exchange for cash. The powerful money man who counted Bill Clinton, Bill Gates, Woody Allen, and Harvey Weinstein among his pals, and who often partied with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago, was given a sweetheart deal at the time. He pled guilty to one count of soliciting underage prostitution and served a light sentence in a county jail with a lenient work release program. His lawyers also arranged a controversial non-prosecution agreement for Epstein's fellow unnamed co-conspirators. But Epstein was again arrested in July of 2019 by New York authorities and charged with exploiting dozens of underage girls in a sexual pyramid scheme. At the time of his arrest, authorities found a safe filled with precious gems, piles of cash, and a fake passport in his Upper East Side palace, along with a trove of sexual photos of girls. He killed himself a month later, allegedly, while waiting trial. A year later, Maxwell was nabbed by the FBI in a secluded mansion in New Hampshire, where she was hiding out with her much younger secret husband, tech CEO Scott Bergeson. She remains the only accomplice of Epstein to face charges in connection with his trafficking ring. The French authorities have also arrested Epstein's close friend and Melonning scout, Jean-Luc Vernel, who stands accused of raping underage girls and trafficking them to Epstein. So, looks like a lot of shit's going to hit the fan here.
And, you know, they might have some points about some of those women. You know, there could absolutely be some women who weren't abused or did it willingly coming for money. There's a lot of money. People do that shit.
With the sheer amount of women that he went through, you'd have to assume a couple of them were willing participants. But that doesn't then excuse all the other things, obviously, either.
Exactly.
So if you find one that goes, well, that's questionable at best. Sure. But that doesn't mean all the others are questionable at best either. You know?
Exactly. So my guess is that the idea is to put some doubt in these women, you know, well, this one and this one and this one. So therefore, all of them are like that.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, I don't know, because it's like only what I've read, and I'm also the one who thought Monica Lewinsky deserved all of that humiliation, and now I think I was wrong.
Yeah.
But,
You changed your opinion?
I can't say she deserved it. I would never say that. I thought she deserved it. But I think, I just really feel like this woman was more involved in all this.
Yeah.
That it probably was fun and it didn't seem so wrong. They're being paid, mm-hmm. you know, we're giving him this lavish lifestyle. We're flying him all over the place. You know, God, when I was 15, if only someone would have paid me for sex.
Yeah.
You know, so it just, we treated him so well.
I know.
Is kind of, I just could see how she could get caught up in that. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of powerful people.
Sure.
You know, it's not like you're hanging out with the gang from work. You know, you're hanging out with Bill Gates and Donald Trump and Bill Clinton and Prince Andrew and who knows who else.
Yeah. I mean, it's intimidating and a lot can happen, especially when you're young. And we're all young at one point. And when you're young, you're naturally kind of dumb.
Well, and two, when you're young and somebody's offering you some money.
Exactly.
And then, because I totally get how that shit would happen. Because one girl's making some money. She doesn't have any problem doing it.
Sure.
And then she's like, well, if I just had like.
But it doesn't, then,
Like, well, get a friend.
It certainly does not excuse then someone saying, oh, these girls think this is okay. Let's take advantage of that. No, fuck that. That's not okay.
And the problem with that is if these girls are 15 and then the other girl recruits a girl.
Exactly.
Because I watched a documentary on this. at the time, you don't realize the damage it's doing. You're 15.
No, you don't realize.
You don't realize. You think you're an adult. You think you're all grown up.
Yeah.
You don't get it.
Yeah.
At that time.
No, not at all.
And it doesn't feel right. You know, a lot of them said it felt dirty and nasty, but they were broke. You know, they were poor.
Yep.
And here's a lot of money.
Yep.
And you get $200, $300, $400 out of the blue at that age. That's a lot of money.
And that was his whole MO. It was go after girls who are not well off, who are somewhat desperate in desperate situations, and present yourself as you're the savior, essentially. And guess what? People, when they're in desperate situations, will do almost anything. And if you're young and impressionable, guess what? You're even more likely to go and bite, you know, on this crazy bait of this disgusting, horrible human being.
And if your friend is doing it,
yeah,
you're like, well, you know, that's my best friend. She's doing it and she thinks it's okay.
Exactly. Speaking of disgusting and horrible human beings.
Josh Duggar.
So, yes, Josh Duggar. A trial continues in the shit grin eating face of Josh Duggar. And I say that when I look at his mugshot, because that's just like the most smug, you're never going to get me, fuckers, type look. Josh Duggar admitted he first molested girls at age 12. Family friends said an emotional testimony this last week. It was March 30th, 2003, and Josh Duggar, not for the first time, had something to confess. He was just a few weeks past his 15th birthday and a few years before his family found reality TV fame. Behind closed doors, however, he had fondled four younger girls since the age of 12. That startling admission, which he first made in 2002 and again in 2003, meeting with parents Jim Bob, Michelle Duggar, and two of their best friends, Jim and Bobby Holt. And then again in 2005, the conversation with the Holts was publicly detailed for the first time on Monday in emotional testimony. And a hearing ahead of Josh's trial on federal charges, he received and possessed child pornography 2 years ago. Josh, 33, has pled not guilty and vowed to fight back in the courtroom. In court papers, Josh's attorneys have suggested several other people also had access to the computer at the work where the material was found, but that police didn't sufficiently investigate. Monday's three-hour hearing in court in Arkansas turned out what may be a key matter at the trial later this week, whether or not the judge should admit evidence that Josh previously committed child molestation, which his defense maintains that Monday's testimony about his actions 2 decades ago was not definitive. The only major factual dispute at the hearing was about the extent of the conduct and not whether any molestation occurred. Josh's illicit history first burst into public view in 2015 when the tabloid In Touch published a 2006 police report, later confirmed by People, about an investigation into whether Josh had molested five underage girls, including a few of his sisters. Josh acknowledged to People in a statement at the time that at as young as a teenager, I acted inexcusably, for which I'm extremely sorry and deeply regret. I hurt others, including my family and close friends, and I would do anything to go back to those teen years and take different actions. I sought forgiveness from those I had wronged and asked Christ to forgive me and come into my life. But none of that, his defense insists, should be relevant today. Let's have a trial about what actually happened in May 2019. Justin Gelfand urged the judge, contending that the prosecution had a lot of mountains to climb in proving the admissibility of Josh's past conduct to help them convict. Gelfand conceded the testimony on Monday largely agreed on what Josh did to minor girls, referred to as Jane Doe's 1 through 4, when he was a teenager, but Gelfand argued that the prosecution was so far relying on only a sole witness to provide or to prove Josh had digitally penetrated one of the girls' genitals, the most serious conduct described in court so far. And while prosecutors pressed the two witnesses, including Josh's and dad Jim Bob Duggar, over what Josh had admitted to all those years ago, The defense argued that Josh's statements were made in the context of spiritual counseling with Bobby and Jim Holt, and so should be shielded by the religious privilege between clergy and parishioners. Gelfand said religious liberty existed to protect certain disclosures in certain contexts, and this is the epitome of those conversations. The matter remains pending before Judge Timothy L. Brooks, who questioned Gelfand about where such a privilege would begin and end, including in the context of mandatory reporting laws about child abuse. Brooks requested further briefings from both prosecutors and the defense by Tuesday amid jury selection in hopes of a ruling before the trial is underway. Prosecutors, for their part, called the testimony damning, as close to a formal admission of guilt in a courtroom setting as you can get, William Clayman told the judge. Here is how the day unfolded. Josh's wife, Anna Duggar, watched from the right row. First, to testify for the prosecution was Bobby Holt, whose husband Jim has known Jim Bob since the two were in seventh grade. Bobby and their families were close for decades, attending Bible Grace Fellowship together for nearly 10 years and going on ski trips. "We love them," she said, adding, "We love Josh." He called her Aunt Bobby, she said, all this according to People. The Holt's oldest daughter dated Josh for several months in 2002 and 2003. Though the relationship was chaperoned on more emotional than physical, in keeping with the family's custom, they all hoped one day the two might marry. But Josh and the Holt's daughter insisted stopping seeing each other on March 30th, 2003, Bobby said. She remembered the exact day because that's when she and Jim went to the Duggars' home after a call from Jim Bob 56 to Jim, who learned what Josh had done. The Holts and Duggars, Jim Bob and Michelle, Josh gathered on the Duggars' parents' bedroom for an hours-long session. Bobby said on the stand that Jim Bob paced around the floor and sometimes the group prayed. As Bobby recalled Josh telling her he had touched the four girls both over and under their clothes, she choked up. One specific incident led to a meeting that March, Bobby said. Something happened earlier that day. Josh explained that Jane Doe 4 was sitting on his lap during Bible time and he touched her inappropriately, she said. He said it happened that day. On that date, he told us that he touched her vaginal area, she continued. Only later did she learn, Bobby said, that Josh touched the girls under their clothes. Josh also admitted to touching three other girls, Bobby said, each of them on their breasts and genitals. In one instance, Bobby testified he inappropriately touched one of the girls in February 2002. She went and told his parents what he had done, and he confessed. Bobby added that each of the girls was at least 3 years younger than Josh. As a pattern of behavior, she said, from when he told me, it started at age 12 until March 30th, 2003. Bobby grew more distraught later in her testimony, describing how in early between 2005, between January and April, Josh had come to live with the Holts in Little Rock. Jim, a state senator as well as an ordained minister, chaplain, and one of their church's elders, was regularly counseling Josh. The Holts had offered to help Josh unburden himself of any temptations he wanted to confess. And so, in one evening conversation with Jim and Bobby, that is what Josh did. According to Bobby, who testified that Josh shared more details about how he touched Jane Doe 4 in 2003 when she was sitting on his lap. He put his hands under her pantoons and under her panties, said Bobby, who was crying and had to pause to gather herself, apologizing to the court. Josh touched the girl outside and then inside, said Bobby, whose voice began to hitch. In yet another incident, Bobby said Josh said that he went to one of the girls as he was sleeping and got up under her blanket and started touching her as she woke up and hit him. Then the girl told his parents. "He told me she snitched on him," Bobby recalled. It went on to tell Jim, Bob, and Michelle, but they said they didn't want to hear it, Bobby said, later adding, "People began to be aware something else happened in Little Rock that made Josh leave our home." She clarified that it was unrelated to the inappropriate touching. Under cross-examination, Bobby said that she had kept no records of what she said Josh told her, but pushed back when the defense focused on her failure to remember what word Josh used for genitals. It was that he told me, she said. Like Josh did previously, Bobby said during her testimony, I'm confessing now. So there you go. A lot going down in the Duggar case this week.
Okay, I was a little confused. So at the beginning of that, they were discussing if that was admissible in court, but then it ended up being yes, it was admissible in court, what he had done before, or...
Yeah. They're still determining if all of this can be admissible in court. That's
but they went ahead, but she went ahead and testified as to all of that anyway.
Yeah, we're in like pre-trial right now. They just finished jury selection, so we're not quite into the trial.
Oh, so that wasn't in front of a jury.
No,
I'm with you. Because I was like, when you were, I was listening to that thinking, dang, I've been out of it the last few days. Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and there's a whole other chapter on Jim Bob. Which, I had said this the other day on the show when I was talking with Sean. The other day I was driving down the highway, and because I'm physically located where all of this is going on, and I'm just going around this curb, and there's this big giant, you know, electronic billboard, and it says Jim Bob for state senate. I think, is it senate or something? It's something. It Congress, state. It states something in Arkansas, and he's legitimately running, and he's running on like morals and values and this and that. And what did he say this week in court when they're asking him about it? I don't remember. I don't remember much of what he said to me. It's like, seriously, like I would think this would be like fucking etched in your mind. Like,
oh my God, yes.
Like just like seared, like Yellowstone style, just like. It is in there. It's not coming out. If you have that moment with your child, I mean, how the hell is that not going to be there forever? But it's anyway, in court this week, his big thing was, I don't remember. I don't remember.
That's so messed up.
I know.
And it's really, really sad. You know, and you and I make fun of it, but... Actually, I would prefer to think we make fun of him.
Yeah.
But,
well, I mean, it's all absolutely horrible,
the crime
no matter what.
It's absolutely horrific.
Yes.
Like what he did to the girls is horrific. But, you know, child pornography is about the lowest of the low.
The irony is just insane.
Yeah. There are children who are being damaged forever and they're just used as objects.
Yeah.
You know, these people don't care that that's a child.
Yeah.
And what they do to them, that just really bothers me.
I said the other day, I mean, and this is, it gives such a horrible name to like Christianity and anything in that world because they profess it like this is like they're just such wonderful moral human beings. And it's like, what the fuck is going on here? You know, it's like,
let's talk about the Catholic Church.
And that's not what the rest of it's like. I mean, it's just, it's so sickening. Just seeing,
I mean, the Catholic Church is a prime example of that.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you get that many pedophiles in the same profession? It's like, there's something going on behind the scenes where they're telling each other it's okay or something. Because if there was that many pedophiles in teaching or in anything, name a profession, you know.
Well, exactly. Like, I mean, they just like pass them along to the next place, you know. It's insane. It's like I when I was driving the other day, when I was coming back into I was leaving Wisconsin, and Catholic is very, very big up in Wisconsin. There's like Lutherans and Catholics, and that's like 80 by probably like at least like 50% on each side, and there's like small nuggets of everything else. So the diocese and everything are really big up there. And I was driving down like towards Milwaukee and the diocese of Milwaukee, I passed and I just kind of cringed driving by it because I'm just like remembering all of the stories of like this group of like, well, let's shift this person over here and that person over there. And it's like, oh my God, this is the.
And when you have that many men who are abusing children, there's something going on.
Exactly.
And just to be like, well, you know, he asked for forgiveness from Jesus and we good. That's, So BTK did the same thing. It's like,
yeah,
you know, he's standing up in court. He's talking about these horrific crimes that he did, but he did ask Jesus for forgiveness. And so in his mind, he's good. Like, he really thinks,
yeah,
that's, you know, you can commit that.
Well, I mean, you have to wonder, there's somebody like that that's doing all those sort of things. I mean, he knows how to play the PR game. I mean, is he really honestly asking for forgiveness, or does he just know, if I say this out loud right now, I'll get more people on my side? And
BTK?
Yeah.
I honest to God, because obviously I live here. So I, you know, we saw everything and know people and,
sure,
I mean, you know him.
The joke is everyone in Wichita has a personal BTK story, because I feel like every person I've ever talked to has a story of, he was in my backyard, or he was like everybody has
one degree away.
I know. It's like Kevin Bacon, but like a degree away from BTK.
Yeah, it's not even 6 degrees of separation.
No,
it's
not
like
at all.
One. No. My friend went to church with him.
Exactly.
And
my dog
and
had
her
sex
husband
with
was
him,
on the church council with him. But I, honest to God, you know, he hid behind the church.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was at church every week. And I, honest to God, in his brain, it was like, okay, I did those horrific things, but it says in the Bible, that's all I got to do.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. Ask for forgiveness.
I know.
And he's good.
It's scary. There's a lot more with the Josh Duggar case, including audio that was revealed when Josh learned he was being investigated for child pornography. We'll get into some of that next week. I'm hoping the audio actually gets released to the public. It's not quite out there yet. It's just kind of like, you know, people reiterating what they heard, but I'm hoping we can hear some of that next week as this one just keeps digging deeper and deeper into our souls. So there you go.
As you laughed maniacally.
Exactly. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of The Dark Side Of. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/darksideof, or go to darksidepod.com. Press subscribe or follow, or I like to say stalk, wherever you are listening to our program, because I think that's kind of appropriate. And help keep us on the air. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to The Dark Side Of.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.